Hi, it's Watercolor with Wendy. Today I have a guest, and I just happen to have this person here named Toshi Hu, who is very well-versed in the future. He works for the Institute for the Future, and he knows some things that you might be interested in about the upcoming change in our world and how it's going to affect the art world and you artists out there. So he's going to give us a little insight into what's happening and the big changes ahead that might relate to your painting and your understanding of technology and so forth. So, hi Toshi, thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me on Watercolor with Wendy.
Yeah, so I'm interested in, my students and so forth are probably wondering about technology and art and the relationship. And we could look at it from a couple of different angles. And first of all, I'd like to ask you, the AI that's coming, I'm hearing from many people, how do you think it's going to affect the average painter, artist? Is it going to be something that'll hurt us in some way? And is it something that might enhance our lives? What is your general feeling about that?
Sure. Well, the first thing I'll say is, you know, you mentioned I work at Institute for the Future, and so we're a nonprofit futures research organization, and we help individuals and organizations better prepare and anticipate how the world's going to change. And I think your question really comes to the, you know, kind of to the main crux, really could be distilled down to is like, you know, how should we feel about this big change potentially, right? Coming from technology in general, but also specifically with this recent version of artificial intelligence. And the first thing I want to say to anybody that might be feeling a little bit afraid about AI is there's good reason to be afraid, but it's not necessarily because it's something to fear. It's because we have literally decades of movies and TV shows telling us that AI is going to only harm us. And that's not to say that there isn't anything harmful about AI. I'm just saying all of our minds are primed with these tales and these mythologies and these models of thinking that AI is only going to be this Terminator or kind of a Frankenstein. And, you know, those are cautionary tales for us to understand the power that technology has. But, you know, Hollywood, television movies, they tend towards stories that are a little bit more scary because that's what draws us in. And all I'm saying is we need to have a more balanced view on these things. In terms of AI right now, I'm sure I know you and many of your listeners are probably hearing people talk, even though artificial intelligence has been something that humans have been trying to create for over 50 years now. And kind of failing, you know, it's always just around the corner. But then something did happen in the last year, just 1 year ago. Probably the turning point for most people was hearing about ChatGPT. Sounds kind of like a weird thing, but basically what it represented is a new type of artificial intelligence, a very different kind of AI than it had been existed before. Previous versions of AI were what we call pattern recognition systems. So they were basically computer systems and programs that were able to look at information, like let's say photos of cats and dogs and say, okay, that's a cat, that's a dog, that's a cat, that's a dog. They're recognizing kind of patterns. And even that was a very difficult problem. What happened today, or what's happening now, is a new type of AI called generative AI. We're not just recognizing patterns, we're actually looking at lots of information, whether that be text in the case of ChatGPT, or literally millions of images in the case of these image generators like Midjourney and Stable Diffusion and things like this. This is machine learning that's basically looking at lots of examples of something. It's learning about those patterns, and then it's able to generate very compelling recreations or mimicking of those patterns. And that's why with ChatGPT, it sounds like you're talking or writing with a human. Obviously, sometimes it sounds a little crazy, but compared to any chatbot we've had before, it's able to generate very human-like language and even do things that we thought that AI and computers could never do, which is actually be, you know, somewhat quote-unquote creative, right? So we're seeing image generators that are creating very photorealistic looking images that look like photos but are not real photos of people or places or things. And we're even seeing, ChatGPT, create poems and rap songs. So that's, I think, you know, that's just to frame this conversation right now, is that we are at a really transformative moment with this generative AI. And the best way to think about it is all these systems basically are kind of like mimics, like a parrot. People even call them stochastic parrots, because they're basically looking at lots of examples and then trying to imitate. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe a couple of questions we might have as watercolor painters are, if we put our images up there on the internet, is somebody going to take it? And the second question might be, are there going to be programs that can paint just as well as we can if, from a photograph, something like that? And does that hurt us in some way?
Yeah, so answer to your first question was, if I put my painting up online, can someone take it? Well, yes. Anything you put online, anything you put public on the internet, on your Facebook, on a website, even sometimes things that you send over email that you think are confidential, anything that's on the internet, you should consider that to be something that someone could take and use and do whatever they want with. And that's really the value of the internet, right? It's the ability to share, right? And that can be used in harmful ways, right? If you're going to take someone's art and then claim it as your own. But that's nothing new. That's not artificial intelligence. The question right now that's coming up is, you know, can somebody go and, let's say, you know, take all of the works of a famous artist, or like, let's say right now, if you went into Midjourney, this is one of these image generating platforms, tools, you can say, like, make me a painting in the style of Norman Rockwell, that of a monkey climbing the Eiffel Tower, giant monkey, and it will do that pretty well. It'll look like a Norman Rockwell painting. So it's a real question of, like, okay, is that stealing Norman Rockwell's art? Is it learning about Norman Rockwell's art? I mean, classically in old artist studios, right? That's what you do. You actually, that's how students learn. They imitated the great masters. You go and you copy work. You know, what's the adage? You know, like good artists steal, or what is it?
A good artist borrow and great artists steal.
Yeah, and you know, that's a bit tongue in cheek, but what it's saying is, you know, in human art creation, we already, you know, kind of are influenced. In fact, it's not just like a negative side effect. That's actually how we develop. You know, we're all always building on each other's ideas. And yes, people do come up with novel ideas. That's not to say we just imitate, and that's really kind of where the nuance of this question lies. But, you know, this is, so there's the question of, like, you know, whether or not can AI create compelling art? The answer is absolutely yes. There is art now that, you know, if you go and look for it, there's beautiful work. And in that way, you know, there's, like, you know, art, every kind of new art form is kind of like, you know, that aside from, like, putting your hands in mud and putting on a cave painting wall, even that's technology in a way. You know, you had to have fire to be allowed to be in the cave to do that painting. The brushes that you use, you know, the pigments that you use, that's all technology, right? So that's art that wouldn't be created by that without those kind of technologies. Now, you know, these tools can be used to basically replicate and try to co-opt someone's style, and that's happening, and that's a great threat to, let's say, like, commercial artists right now who make a living from selling work. Now a creative agency can go in and say, you know, if there's enough versions of your art online, you know, make me something in the style of, you know, so, but some, you know, you'd have to be a pretty famous artist for that to be the case, for these models to be named in there. What's happening right now is, there are a number of artists and a number of writers who are suing these AI companies, saying, like, hey, you took my whole book or all of my books, and you just basically use them to build your product, and now people can say, like, make a script or a book in the style of, you know, my, whatever my name is. So especially if you're well known and you're, you know, on the internet. This is a very confusing question, because it's not, there's a lot of angles. There's one angle of, like, the idea of, like, you know, protecting people's livelihoods, right? And that's a great question right now. Right now, we're seeing in Hollywood right now, the writer's strike is happening because for a number of reasons. First of all, actors and writers already got disrupted by streaming media where they're not getting paid for those streaming shows you're watching on Netflix. But the big twist is the studios don't want to pay writers anymore. They want to say, oh, maybe I have one writer who just runs an AI program. So that's the economic question. Mm-hmm. But your second question points to the other question, which is like, can AI paint, like, you know, paint as well as me? I think in some ways that's the wrong question, because, you know, by what metric, right? Is it paid as well as me, meaning like I could, you know, someone would rather buy that art than my art? That's a commercial question. But I think one of the things that's coming to the surface right now is that, you know, outside of commerce, art doesn't just exist to make money, right? Art exists for a lot of reasons. Art exists not only for our personal kind of well-being and enjoyment and personal exploration, but society and culture itself depends on this human feedback loop of people reflecting on not, you know, the human experience of being alive right now. AI, you could say, is reflecting somewhat on that, but it's reflecting from this kind of third objective point, or not objective, but kind of detached point of view. It doesn't have a point of view. It doesn't have a body. It doesn't pay rent. It doesn't fall in love. It isn't aging or having health issues. It's not falling, you know, it's not going through those trials and tribulations. And I would say that in many ways, even though, yes, we do have a kind of art market, I would say that the broader, more important function of art in our society is to have a thriving culture that's able to have a feedback loop and reflect on our experience and help our society and our culture grow, and ideally grow in more healthful ways. And I think that's the question of that a lot of people worry about, not just are AI, you know, image generators or simulators going to take my work away, but what happens when we have a society in which our artwork isn't being made by human beings?
Yeah, and we're talking a lot about the economic side of art. I was just wondering myself, and what I see in my classroom more and more is students coming in and being very grateful for the break from regular life, because they're just working in their right brain and they're making art with simple materials. And they say, I need this more than ever because of the crazy world we live in. And so the process of art, how do you see that? If you can look into the future a little bit, and you have one foot in the art world, you make things too. How is that going to balance our lives when this so much of this technology is taking over?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the fact that we all are inundated by digital technology and looking at screens, and we're able to do amazing things with these computers and phones and things like that, and have access to information and be connected and be more productive and be more entertained and all these things. But I think it's pretty clear across the board that this is not helpful for us as individuals, as families, as communities, as societies, and as a humanity. We've adopted this technology partially because it is very fascinating and sparkly and shiny. It's the shiny thing. And it is quite wonderful. There's so many wonderful things about technology. It allows us to connect and collaborate and communicate and learn. But your point of saying like, hey, like, you know, just because I could describe a watercolor painting and have something maybe come out from an AI that is pretty compelling in terms of its output, well, art again is not just about the output, it's in large part about the process. Mm-hmm. And I would also argue the context in which it's being created, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's a big part of the process too, right? Like, when are we choosing to paint? Why are we choosing to paint? What is influencing us and happening in our lives while we're painting? And I think you're right. Like, I think increasingly, I know just in my own personal life, I'm having to explicitly look for non-digital things to be doing my day that aren't on screens or aren't about gathering more information or being more productive, and just being present and explore. And really, I mean, I think that speaks to some of the core needs we have as human beings. We're not here just to be productive. You know, we need to have our own, you know, embodied and spiritual presence in the world. And of course, working with physical materials is a large part of that. So yeah, I don't think that's not going away. In fact, you know, in a more utopian vision of this future, you know, these powerful AI tools are going to take, you know, you could say, oh, they're taking jobs. They're also going to be taking away jobs that in many ways humans don't want to be doing. All these rote, repetitive tasks. AI is really good at like low stakes, repetitive tasks. And yes, right now we live in a capitalist society where that's the only way we can get shelter over our heads and food in our mouths and healthcare is to like do these kinds of roles. But that doesn't have to be the way society is laid out. And in fact, the creators of the most powerful AI technologies, these companies, believe that this is going to be so disruptive to work that we're going to need to transform our society and potentially have things like universal basic income, where we're no longer looking to for humans to kind of do things that machines could do in order to have them survive and be valuable parts of society. And in that place, the artists, people, the ability to have time to do art and creative and grow our culture and our knowledge and our strength as societies is going to be not only enjoyable for people, but I would say beneficial to society at this point.
Yeah, so summary would be in the future that the sunny side of this change in our world, we may have more time to make art and we may need to make art and have hands-on experiences and getting away from technology, that it'll be a good thing and more people will want to do it and seek the restorative nature of yes. Making art.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we're all, humanity at large is realizing we need less time with machines and computers and more time being in the real world, doing real things with real people and doing those kinds of things. I mean, one thing I will add is that, you know, we've talked a little bit about how like the threat of AI and art. I also want to point out that just like, you know, your incredible watercolor brushes that you have and the companies are able to give you this amazing collection of colors that you can draw from, that's all technology. We don't think of it as technology because it just seems old at this point. But these tools, these AI tools, you know, it could be used to, you know, do not so great things. They're also going to unleash an incredible wave of new creativity. You know, just like if you think back to a couple years ago when before people had really high power, high quality phone cameras on their phones, only a couple people in the world were photographers. It was a very elitist kind of specialized thing. And now, literally, tens of millions, if not billions of people have like discovered like not only that maybe they are a good photographer, but they enjoy it. They enjoy seeing the world like through this, you know, doing storytelling around framing things. And they would have never discovered that if the tools had not been more accessible. And that's one of the wonderful things about this new AI technology and these kind of conversational interfaces. You don't have to be a high-tech person. You can just have a conversation and describe. So in some ways, we're about to enter into this incredible acceleration and kind of tools for visualizing your imagination. And again, not as replacement for doing it using, you know, traditional physical media. But I just want to say that to your audience so that they're not just afraid that AI is a bad thing. This is going to also kind of enhance and augment human creativity and allow us to tell stories we couldn't tell before and give access to people who may not be able to paint but want to do storytelling in a way and contribute to that kind of shared human practice of culture.
Well, I sure hope that maybe AI can help us come up with some new pigments. We wait for years and years for there to be a non-fugitive reddish purple, and so we have to wait for the car companies to do their research. So we're hoping that maybe we'll get some new pigments, non-fugitive, non-staining, and then we'll have even better paint. Do you think that might happen?
You're kind of joking, I think, but that's actually one of the other sides of this AI. It's AI. This generative AI isn't just good at generating poems and images. It generates, can actually imagine new molecules. So we've actually, and new medicines and new therapies that people believe this generative AI may actually like solve many incredible health issues that we have, or even things like some of the challenges we have around climate change. So yes, this is going to transform materials, and, and paints are one of the examples of that.
Fantastic. We have good things to look forward to. If you want to hear more from Toshi Ho, that's H-O-O, you can go to Institute for the Future. He's got some information there. You might, if you're more interested in the future.
IFTF.org.
IFTF.org for more of that sort of information. And I hope that this helps some of you be less worried about AI and look to a future of more creativity with you and others. So that's it for today. See you soon. Bye-bye.